chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we're still looking at verses 2, 3, and 7. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we're focusing our attention specifically upon, in verses 2, 3, and 7, all the ways of a man. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and when a man's ways please the Lord. We began looking at this, and it most certainly tells us right at the very beginning how we go wrong. And it also tells us how we are to be set right. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. That's how we go wrong. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. It also gives us not only how we are led astray, but what pleases the Lord. And the rule of recovery. The rule of recovery is to commit thy ways unto the Lord. If we were to be doing that more and more and more, instead of that which pleases us, we would be so much better off. We would keep ourselves from many heartaches and many heartbreaks. And if a man were to judge himself, if you were to be your own judge, how many of you would be condemned? And the reason for that is because we judge ourselves by the acts that we do, by the things that we do, by the things that we think are good and right. Yet God judges by the heart. God judges by the principles. And it's not until a man is able to see and to understand his real character, his actual real character in the mirror of God's perfect righteousness, he's never going to understand his real character. Men will try and hide many times and cover up their personal responsibility by hiding behind a cloak of legalism. By just, again, by doing things, by acts that they may do, not from a principle of faith, not in Jesus' name, not by the power of the Holy Spirit, not according to the Word of God, but only that which pleases themselves. Paul's testimony of himself. Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, Saul was an incredible persecutor of the church of God. Paul did not merely dislike Christians. Paul hated Christians. Paul hated Christians so much that he took them, bound them, had them cast into prison, and in many times they were executed. Even the execution of Stephen, Paul was at consenting to it. Paul was blinded by the sincerity of unbelief. Many are blinded by the sincerity of unbelief. Many pass into eternity under that sincerity of unbelief, trusting in nothing more than a profession of faith. that they at one time made a statement or asked God to forgive them of their sins. They may have said all of the right words. They may have done all of the right things. And yet there was no work in the heart. It did not proceed from the heart. It merely proceeded from the head. It was a counterfeit profession. Is something that is counterfeit, while one may, and I'll use this as an example, if one has a counterfeit Rolex watch, it may look like the real thing when you're holding it in your hand. But then after careful examination, it's found to be counterfeit. And if it's found to be counterfeit, what is its value? Its value is nothing. The value is only upon the real thing. The real thing is the value. And it is the same way with the spiritual life. It is only that which is true, only that which is right, that God counts as real. If you take that watch to the jeweler and say, I'd like to get some money for this, he'd say, this is a counterfeit. This is a counterfeit. I'm not going to give you anything for this. It's worthless. But if you take the real thing, he might say, where did you find this? This is a rare find. This is real. This is worth a lot of money. If we weigh our thoughts and actions in the balances of our own desires, and as we looked last week at the scale, you've got the scale and you tip the scale one way or the other. Well, if we weigh ourselves and our action in our scale, in our balances, it's always going to be to our good. But God does not use our scale. God uses His scale, and His scale is righteous and it's true, and it is always the same. It never changes, just as His Word never changes. He doesn't adjust the scale that it might work better for us. He doesn't change it just because we want it to be changed. And I use the example of the simple example of mailing a letter. If you have a letter to be mailed and it's going to cost you a certain amount of money at the post office, you know what that is. It's not going to change. It's always going to be the same. It's not going to change because you think that the letter weighs less. It's not going to change because you want the letter to weigh less. If you drop it in the box, it's gone. And if it weighs more, it's going to be rejected. If you take it beforehand and weigh it and then find it to be wanting, then you correct it beforehand. And that's how we are to be with our works. The things that we take to God, we're to take them to God before we commit to them, before we do them. We need to weigh those things in God's balances. Lord, this is what I'm intending to do. May I put it on your scale of righteousness and weigh it. And if it be found right, then enable this to happen. And if it be found wrong, do not let me become involved in this, whatever it is. But what happens? We do the things that we think are right. And the things that we do, we think are right. So the thing that I'm going to do, I think it is right. So I'm going to do it. And even if the thing is evil that I'm going to do, even if it is sinful, even if I know it is sinful, what do I have to do? I need to persuade myself that it is okay. I need to persuade my conscience that it's right and that I can do it. So once I've done that, once I have worked it up in my mind that because of this and because of that, and I get all of these things that I perceive in my own mind that is going to make this okay, then it's all right for me to do it because I've made it right in my mind. But is it right in God's mind? Is it right in God's all-seeing eye? Because even if we think that the act is innocent, right up to the doing of it, but after we've done it, after we've committed that act, then we know it's wrong. We know it's wrong at that point. And now it's already been done. You persuade yourself. You persuade yourself that it's innocent. But the real motive behind it all is that we like the things we do, and we do the things we like. Because we persuade ourselves that they're clean, just as our verse says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. We persuade ourselves to thinking that they are clean in our own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord is not going to use our standard of what is right and what is wrong. Verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Or commit thy ways unto the Lord. Commit your ways unto the Lord not only before, but after. And again, the example is of the young child. The young child that is working with his father, that he's doing something. And he wants to please his father. So as he proceeds in the work, he's bringing that work back to his father and saying, how is this? Did I do this right? Does it look good, Dad or Mom? That's how we're to be with the service that we serve the Lord. Is to not only commit that to the Lord at the beginning and before the work, but after the work. So after we commit it to the Lord, and then after we proceed in that work, to bring that work back to the Lord and say, Lord, we're this far in the work. Lord, are you pleased with this work? Is it right? Are we doing the right thing? Shall I proceed with the work? Isn't that what we see many of the kings did in the Old Testament before they went to war? They asked the Lord, shall we go up? Or shall we refrain from going up? There's certainly a lesson to be learned there. So bring back the actions of your life to God, one by one. Now, if we don't want to do that, if we don't want to bring that work back to the Lord, why is that? Why is it? Why would it be that the young child would not want to bring the work back to his father? Why would it be if the father comes around and the young boy begins to hide the work and put it under something and he doesn't want his father to see that? Is it because that he would think it would be evil? Would he think it would be a displeasure to his father? And isn't that how we are in the spiritual life as well? We begin a work, and it's only when we know that work to be wrong, when we know that work to be wrong, that's when we don't want to bring it to God. Because we don't want to bring that up to God. Because we know in our heart that it is displeasing to God. Many professing Christians find it easier to go to our Heavenly Father to ask at the beginning than it is to bring that work back to God. To bring all the works to the Lord. That would be in the character of a child of God to do that. Matthew 21:28. Matthew 21:28 through 32. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward. To bring all the works to the Lord is most certainly in the character of a dear child, that it would please the Father. What is the action here of the second son? Go work today in my vineyard. That was the command. And the answer, I go, sir. It was a ready answer. Up to this point, all was well. But what followed was disobedience. Because the second son went not to work in his father's vineyard. And we do not ever see that he came back to tell his father what he had done. To have done so would have either kept him on the right path, or it would have corrected him for his disobedience. But he said, I'm not going. He says, I'm going. But then he didn't go. Now, had he came back to his father to show his father what he had done, to get his father's approval, at that point it would have done one of two things. It would have either corrected him for the work that he had done, for his disobedience, or it would have put him on the right path. But he didn't do that, and that's how we are by nature. We know that we've done wrong. And in this particular case, he said, I'm going to go. But he went not. And even the child, even the son that said, I will not, and then he repented. And what was the repentance just said, I'll go. Or I'm sorry I didn't go. No. That repentance was followed by action. He went. He repented and went. When we repent, there's action. True repentance is action taken. Some of our works are evil, and we know it. So here lies the power of a very practical rule. If it were our fixed and unvarying practice to bring all of our ways and all of our works and lay them before God, we would not dare do anything but those things that are pleasing unto God. Because if we knew in our mind and in our heart that we were going to have to take this thing that I'm doing and present it before God, the all-seeing eye of God, we would make sure that which we're doing would be well-pleasing to God. But other works, while not positively sinful in and of themselves, many times are of little importance. They're just small things. And we think as the person involved in these works and in these ways that these are too insignificant to bring to God. This thing that I'm going to be involved in, this is nothing. I'm just going to go ahead and do this. It's nothing. It's too insignificant to bring to God. Really? Is that the spirit and character of adoption? Not to bother the Lord? Don't trouble the Lord? What about in Matthew 19:14? Just back a page or two. Matthew 19:14. Start at verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Be assured that little children, both in a natural sense and a spiritual sense, there's a character here, that the things that they bring are little things. They're children. They're going to bring little things. Children speak as children. Yet the Lord does not put them from Him. But He actually rebukes those that do. He welcomes them and blesses them. And even more than this, He tells us that we are to be like the little children. And if we are not, that we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, little children, we're to bring all the works that we do. And you should not do any that you could not bring to the Lord. That's how we're to be. That is the practicality. That is the practicalness of this message here, dealing with our ways before the Lord. Proverbs 16. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Absolutely they are. But the Lord weigheth the spirits. The Lord gets beyond the work itself and goes right to the heart of the matter. And then, commit thy ways or works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If we were to commit our ways and our works, regardless how small or how large, to the Lord, our lives would be so much better off. And this evening, we'll start looking at verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, a simple message to the mind and to the heart, but how practical, how truthful. Oh Lord, help us to be. Help us to be as little children. Lord, we want to think that we have done well when we bring that which is great and grandiose in our own eyes to you, to ask your blessing upon it, to ask your guidance over it. But Lord, what of the little things? How much of the little things do we bring to you? Just as children, and as we are to be as little children, and little children bring little things. Lord, help us to do that which is well pleasing in your sight. For Jesus' sake, amen.